Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, presented by Juicetool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Amar. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. He's looking to go to a new team. The last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, he's got to show up. And he's got to really, he's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 picks.
Back into positions.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I thought you were right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the full package.
No way. I can't even. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy defining plays and legacy defining throws. 13 seconds. And you get the ball into field goal. That is absolutely insane.
I have to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
Carol? Mm-hmm. Ready to roll.
All right. It is Monday night. We are about an hour before kickoff of the Russ revenge tour. I don't know if not much of a revenge tour, but in any case, Russ returning to Seattle to play the Broncos. But before we do that, we obviously have a lot of stuff to talk about in week one. And you know what? Last year, I recall a lot of people complaining about the level of play in week one. A lot of people were like, well, it was a very boring week one. Even red zone wasn't so entertaining. This week was the opposite. We had like 7 potential ties and one real tie this week. But anyway, so we have a lot of stuff today. We're going to run through some of the biggest headlines. Dak Prescott injury. We have the Raiders Chargers. We have the Bills versus Rams, which is, I know, felt like an eternity ago, but that in reality about, 3 or 4 days ago. We have a lot more stuff to discuss. We're going to overreact, as is customary to do week one. Overreact to a bunch of things, of course. What you see in week one is what you're going to get throughout the entire season. Everyone knows that. And we have a couple new segments for you. Rocky's Roll Call, which we'll get more to a little later. We got some betting stuff. We got some trivia and some great stuff. We've got a great show for you today. It's going to be very fun. So stick with us throughout. You're not going to regret it. So, Meisty, do you generally watch the games alone, or do you watch them with people? And which one do you prefer to do? Because I've seen a lot of people split on this.
I tend to watch the Ravens games here at home with my parents. Sometimes my younger brother's here. And then after that, it's a 1 o'clock game. After that, I'll go out and see my friends. The Sunday night game, I'll watch somewhere random. But for the most part, I try to watch the Ravens games here at home. I know I'm guaranteed a comfortable seat on the couch. I'm not worried that I'm going to be sitting on the floor on some kitchen chair in somebody else's squeezed apartment. Watch at home on my comfortable couch. Know I have a good view of the games. Red zone on a different screen. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so in terms of the Ravens games, I agree with you. I used to get very tense and nervous about the Ravens games. So I didn't like to watch them with people. But I have since then... I don't get as nervous. I just enjoy watching football now more. So therefore, I appreciate when we do, for example, Thursday night, we had a little Discord chat, Morty and I, and that was very nice that we were able to sort of watch the game virtually together. So there's something nice about watching it alone if it's your team, because maybe it can get a little nerve-wracking. But if it's just, you know, red zone, that's fun to watch with people. What about you, Morty? Which one do you prefer? Which one do you generally do?
Well, I'm always down to, like, watch with friends. I think that's always preferable. So this Sunday, I watched 5.5 hours of Red Zone with my roommate, who is not a big sports guy. He just, you know, go sports.
Right.
he's a Bears fan, though, so, you know, he did enjoy watching them win.
Good game.
But yeah, so one screen Red Zone, one screen Eagles, and I'm a happy man.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Morty and I both had a little difficulty getting the game on today because last year I had NFL Sunday ticket. This year I was trying to find an alternative route, and I had the Ravens game on the big screen. I had Red Zone on my laptop on the small screen, and I kept on having to switch back and forth as a result of the reception not exactly working very well. But anyway, we got it done. Week one is almost in the books. We got one game left. Meisty, what are we talking about first? Which man, which individual would you like to lead off with?
I think that the biggest thing we could talk about is Dak Prescott right now. The report is that he had a successful surgery today, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks reportedly. And it's expected from the Cowboys to make some type of move to keep them in contention for the, I mean, the playoffs, the Super Bowl, but to keep them in contention in the season. You can't, I mean, what, they're going to go with Cooper Rush. He's their backup and he's not very good. There are guys out there you can trade for. It might cost them some money, but they should have the money after allowing Mari Cooper to go last year. So there should be money for them. They could go get, I mean, everyone's obviously going to say, oh, go get Jimmy Garoppolo. But I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is the best option. But there's definitely guys out there that they can go and trade for that can come in for 6 to 8 weeks, hopefully get, you know, 4 or 5 wins out of it. Tough loss in week one. But where do you think the Cowboys should go with that, with this injury?
So there's a couple. I have a couple thoughts on this. Number one, if you look at the Cowboys' schedule over the next 6 weeks, it's not overly difficult. You got the Bengals next week, which is going to be tough. And then you got the Giants, you got the Commanders, Rams, Eagles, Lions, Bears. Easily 3 or 4 winnable games in there.
Right.
With a backup quarterback, you can't necessarily rely on them winning all the games they're supposed to win with the starting quarterback. I admit that. But if you look at it from a schedule perspective, those games should be winnable. At least 4 of the 6 should be winnable. But on the other hand, the back end of their schedule, at towards the end of the year, when Dak Prescott is expected to return, gets very difficult. So if you don't see like a Dak regression like we saw from Russell Wilson with the thumb injury where he came back last year and he just did not play well out of the gate, Dak is going to have to play really well out of the gate, unlike Russell Wilson did last year, or else the Cowboys are in trouble. Because although, like I mentioned, their schedule's not great, it's not tough the next 6 weeks, it gets really tough after that. Dak's going to have to come in off his injury without many reps because he got injured in the first game. It's going to be really tough. And again, I said before the season, I don't think Dak Prescott's going to be particularly good this year. I mean, 10th rated quarterback in the league according to PFF. You lose Amari Cooper. You know, Michael Gallup is suffering his own injury concerns. So what, James Washington is your second receiver on the outside there? I mean, it's not a great situation. 2 turnover-worthy plays yesterday against the Bucs. Did not play very well with the interception as well. Did not play very well. Did not start up the season on a good note already before he suffered the injury. So I was not feeling great about the Cowboys. Defense looks good with Michael Parsons, no question. I wasn't feeling great about the Cowboys' chances beforehand. And now that Dak is out, I think there's a chance they miss the playoffs, even in the NFC, Meisty. Like, do you think they still have a chance to make the playoffs, even if with Dak out 4 to 6 weeks?
Listen, the bottom line is this. It wasn't a pretty start to the game for Dak Prescott, even before the injury. Was he feeling pain maybe during the first half of the game? I don't know. I don't know exactly the situation. I assume he just got hurt. But he didn't look pretty. Zeke actually looked pretty good. I mean, not as much as he's getting paid good, but good. And to me, the only way that you have a chance is getting a guy from the free agent market. You still got guys out there. Gardner Minshew is out there. Cam Newton's out there. Ryan Fitzpatrick's out there. I mean, there's guys that can go and win you 4 to 6 football games, and you just have to hope that when Dak Prescott comes, they could get Josh Johnson. You just have to hope that when he comes back, he can continue to win football games. Like you said, there's not a good receiving core there. They need help. Their defense is pretty good, though. Chandler, what's his name? Chandler? Micah Parsons is a basketball player. Micah Parsons is a real problem. So we'll see what happens with them. You're right. The thing is, though, the division outside the Eagles, it's very easy division. I know the Giants had a big win yesterday. But outside that, it's an easy, and so did the Redskins win. So outside of that, it's an easy division, though. They should be able to get a wild card, maybe win the division. They shouldn't. The whole NFC is not, you know, I mean, it's a shaky NFC. Anything can happen. Week one, let's overreact to it. Why not? Say the Cowboys won't make the playoffs. Let's do it.
Well, listen, they're the only team that didn't win a game. Ah, there we go. There's the ad that I was waiting for to break out in the middle. So they're the only team that did not win a game in this division. They're in last place in the division, Meisty. Okay, they're already at 0-1. They're already in a disadvantage. How about them Cowboys? They're already at a disadvantage. And on the flip side of things, look how the Eagles played yesterday. Yes, I know the defense showed some concerns, allowing 35 points, allowing sort of the Lions to get back into it. Not really, they never really had a chance. The Eagles were in command the entire time. But A.J. Brown is clearly going to make a big difference in that passing game. 10 receptions on 13 targets and 155 yards. Jalen Hurts, 90 rushing yards. That running game is going to be a problem. A.J. Brown, like you mentioned before the season, Mice, he's going to be a perfect complement to what Jalen Hurts does. He can sort of do a lot of different things. You want him to make to do damage after the catch? He can do that. You want him to go one-on-one, even beat double coverage? He can do that. People forget this man is in his fourth year. Generally, when guys are in their fourth year, we say they're still developing. They can still get better. Like, dare I say, A.J. Brown could still get better. This man is a beast. He's an absolute beast, a force to be reckoned with. They signed Goddard to that extension. They have a dynamic offense there in Philly. With that being said, I don't think the Cowboys have any chance of winning the division this year. Like, I made it one of my bold predictions before the season for the Eagles to win the division. And it was sort of bold, not really, because the Eagles were gaining a lot of steam, especially in Vegas. You saw the odds go up for the Eagles as the season got inched closer. But now, Dak's out for 4 to 6 weeks. The Eagles already have a 1-0 advantage. Not much, but still. And you see what that Eagles offense is going to be able to do. Maybe an overreaction over week one. I think the Eagles are going to dominate this division, man. That's what I think.
Rocky, like you said, the Cowboys were the only team in the NFC East to lose. On that note, there was no wins in the AFC South this week, and two of them played each other.
Yeah, well, yes.
I was really hoping for two ties in week one. I mean, that game, Rocky, what was the message I sent you? Oh, but this game was crazy. That game was insane. And then the Jets just got crushed. Football is back.
Right. Football is back. Favorite. So let's segue straight into that. The Steelers-Bengals game was a bizarre game because it should have been a tie. Nobody really deserved to win that game. Joe Burrow turned the ball over 5 times. Like, all of a sudden, Mitch Trubisky was pretty much what we expected from him, right? Horrible the entire game and came out with one crazy throw. They were just lucky enough that the game extended into the 69th minute so that he can make that throw, right? Had it not, we would have seen Mitch Trubisky, just really bad Mitch Trubisky, you know, the Steelers defense bailing him out, and Joe Burrow all of a sudden becoming a turnover machine. I mean, it was the weirdest game in the world. But, Meisty, two things. I always ask you to shed some light, but when these types of things happen on the football field, I am scratching my head and wondering what is going on. Number one, why don't they take a second look at that Ja'Marr Chase touchdown? Right when I'm watching the game here, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, that is a touchdown. Right away, we all saw it. The ball was over the line. And they didn't even take a second. They rushed right onto the field like nothing ever happened, and they just snapped the ball. Why the sense of urgency? I mean, that is a go-ahead touchdown. I know they ended up getting the go-ahead touchdown later anyway, but who knows how that could have changed the course of the game. And to not even take a second look, and then in overtime, there's a minute 20 left, 20 seconds left, or a minute, whatever it was, a minute 10 left, 20 seconds left on the play clock. And instead of waiting the play clock go down to one and punting the ball to give the Steelers as little time as possible, which probably would have resulted in a tie, instead they go ahead and punt the ball with 20 seconds left in the game clock and give the Steelers ample time to drive down and give a good kicker in Chris Boswell enough range to make the game-winning kick. The Bengals, this was just some boneheaded plays on the Bengals' side, some really bad play, and they still should have won this game, Meisty. They still should have won this game. What does that say about the Steelers? Does it say more about the Steelers or the Bengals? That's really what I'm trying to figure out here.
Zach Taylor should be fired, is what it's saying.
No, that's absolutely not true.
No, here's what I have to say at the end of the day. Joe Burrow threw 4 interceptions. He threw a pick six to start the game. TJ Watt was all in his face. Minkah Fitzpatrick was fantastic in the backfield. I mean, I know you're going to dig into that later, so I'm not going to get into that. But other than that, I mean, he didn't check any boxes, Joe Burrow. He was throwing the ball anywhere that wasn't to his players. He looked like he was his first year, first game in the NFL, not knowing what hit him. He had no clue what was flying. I mean, it just makes zero sense, right? So that's one thing. But we know Joe Burrow is better than that. So if you're a Bengals fan, I wouldn't worry. Now, that stupidity, first of all, kickers, what are we doing? What are we doing? And it's embarrassing, kickers. It is. It's an embarrassment to the sport. Like, I've been saying, I'm going to get rid of them. Just get rid of kickers. You score a touchdown, 6 points. You want to go for one? Call hike and go for it from, like, the 5-yard line, 2 points from the, 10-yard line. I don't know, whatever. Something like we do in flag football. Doesn't matter. Point is, kickers are becoming an embarrassment to the sport. Really is.
Remember a Saturday night, Meisty, when we were both watching the LSU game? and we were both amazed by the lack of talent at the kicker position in college football. We're like, this guy's got missed two PATs, and the last PAT also got blocked to tie the game. I don't know, Morty, I don't know if you're watching the game, but basically LSU had a chance to tie up the game at the last second. They got a touchdown down by seven, and they, you know, just the extra point to tie the, to watch them call it, to tie the game, got blocked. And the guy missed like three field goals earlier in the game. And we're like, college kickers stink. But anyway, clearly NFL kickers aren't much better.
I have beef fight because I happen to know the LSU kicker personally. But he
works for me. Get him on the show. Get him on the show.
Yeah, I got to let him out. My co-host thinks you suck.
Listen, no, but I only watched one LSU game, but I wasn't impressed by what I saw last Saturday night. That's for sure.
But going back to the Bengals, that stupidity at, with the play clock, I said this earlier today as well. I mean, the coach must have said something to him like, hey, wait for the clock to run out. And some idiot called hike. Somebody snapped the ball. Somebody just thought the clock said one. I don't know what they thought, but they snapped the ball. It was, I mean, they shouldn't have even been touching the ball. Literally, the center shouldn't even touch the ball until maybe there was like 10 seconds on the thing. They were set up and ready to go. I don't know whose mistake it was. I don't think that we'll ever know whose mistake it really was. They're not going to tell us anything unless someone gets cut from the team. It was brutal. He's also a rookie punter. So it wasn't very pretty for the Bengals. I mean, how many opportunities do the Bengals need to win? How many opportunities? The Steelers give them every possible chance to win. It was a good comeback attempt by the Bengals. Fell short. Should have been a tie. Steelers, you know what? Listen, they have Mike Tomlin. We hate on Mitch Trubisky here, but he did his job. But Mike Tomlin is one incredible coach. He figured it out, got the job done. May have been an ugly win, but he got the job done.
Yeah, honestly, it was really the day of failed comebacks yesterday. There were several of those. There was, I think, one successful, but many of the comebacks were made or either close to being made and then failed, and the Bengals had every opportunity to win this game despite turning the ball over five times, still put themselves in a position multiple times to win this game. Another failed comeback came at in the Vegas Chargers, and the Chargers, a lot of times they fail to put teams away, right? This has been one of their problems. They win a lot of games. Even last year, won nine games, but they failed to put teams away. And the Raiders are no slouch, but Derek Carr had five turnover-worthy plays yesterday. He did not play well. Thank God for their sake for Davante Adams, because the man is an absolute beast. And we were joking on the chat. What's the over/under for Davante Adams' targets he's going to get this year? So I said 200, and then Morty went ahead and said a billion, I think, and then Meisty said a billion, trillion, whatever. The point is he's going to get a lot of freaking targets. And you know, Darren Waller is going to be like, what happened? I thought I was the main guy on this team, but apparently it's not going to happen anymore. But the Chargers got the job done, 24-19. And if you look at this rivalry, it's really developing into one that is. It's quite entertaining, Meisty, aside from the game that we had last year, the last game of the season, which was probably one of the most entertaining games we've ever seen. Out of the last seven times that these teams have faced each other, six of them have ended in one possession. And of course, Thursday night, we're going to have which we'll discuss in a few days later in the week when we get to the previews, the Chargers-Chiefs, which is also a great rivalry. But Chargers-Raiders is a great rivalry. I'm going to be very excited to watch for years to come here, Meisty.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened in this game. I mean, bottom line is, there's no one that gets complete credit for that Chargers win. I mean, what? Justin Herbert, he looked fantastic. He went 26-34, 279 yards, three touchdowns. The ground game wasn't too effective, but the defense did their job as well, holding up at the end, not allowing the comeback. I mean, the Raiders, they needed to get going. They looked like the rest of the NFL in week one, kind of came out a little shaky, a little rusty, but they shook off the rust. Got it going. It was slow. Wasn't enough. Okay. But if you're the Raiders, you ain't worried about it. But I think that the play that ultimately determined the game, by the way, was it fourth and eight? And they sacked Derek Carr. I mean, was it? I think it was Max Bird. It was Raiders' third sack of the game.
Yeah.
And the ball came out. I mean, the Raiders need some work on their offensive line, maybe. Maybe the Chargers are just that good. I mean, we all think, right? Some people have the Chargers winning the Super Bowl this year. So I think the Raiders are fine. I think the Chargers are even better. So, but that this is a rivalry. I think you're the one who said this is a rivalry that we are getting to see in the making. I know as kids, we saw other rivalries, but this, as adults, we're seeing this rival really come together. It's going to be an exciting rival over the years to come.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And I think the Chargers can be credited. Justin Herbert spreads the ball around. Seven players on the team have four targets or more. So that's going to be something we're really going to be looking forward to. We know they have a good all-around receiving core, right? There's no really top five receiver on that team like the Raiders have, per se. But you still have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Josh Palmer, and DeAndre Carter. I mean, different pieces, you know, that you could plug in there, and they have a lot of depth at the receiver position. But I have one question. Who's the math whiz on this podcast? Because what's 17 times 17? 17 times 17. Whatever it is, that's how many targets Davante Adams is on pace for this year. Man had 17 targets, 141 yards. How much is it?
17 times 17?
17 times 17.
It's 17 times 17, I think.
289. So there you go. Davante Adams on pace for 289 targets this year. That's fantastic. I mean, I want to know. I didn't do as much preparation as perhaps I should have before this podcast, but I want to know what's the all-time leader in single-season targets. So Davante Adams might eclipse that this year because they clearly intend on passing him the ball. I mean, he had half their targets, 35 targets total for Derek Carr. Sort of 35 dropbacks and 17 of the targets were to Davante Adams. So he's going to be an enormous part of that offense, clearly.
Let's talk about another failed comeback this week.
Yeah.
Right? Panthers, Browns. I thought the Panthers were going to crush them. They looked like they had it down there at the end of the day. What was it? A minute 15 left, and they gave Jacoby Brissett. I mean, who thought Jacoby Brissett could know how to do a 2-minute drill? Knocked it clear. I think every quarterback, by the way. No, I really think this. If you
forget about Jacoby Brissett.
Any quarterback. Ever been in the NFL. It could be the worst quarterback in the league, right? But if you put any quarterback in a 2-minute drill, I think they can get it done. Now, sometimes they'll throw a pick and it won't happen, but 8 out of 10 times, I think any quarterback from obviously your Tom Brady's and your Peyton Manning's all the way down to your Will Greer's and your I don't know, whoever else is it who's on that Will Greer level. Even Trevor Lawrence, who's right? What?
Oh, Greer.
Or Trevor Lawrence. Right? The 2-minute drill is something that every quarterback knows how to do. But they gave him a 2-minute drill. He went down there. Gave, what was it? A Yorks? What's his first name? I don't even know.
York. What's his York. Name? Let's see. I have the. Wait, let's. I'm going to get that in a second.
Field goal. Lifts the
Cade York. Cade York. Cade with a C.
Cade York. 58-yard field goal. I mean,
you're saying kickers
also,
in the
disaster
NFL.
Of a game. Another
right. Kickers. Today was not the day for the kickers, but then Cade York comes through and it's a freaking 58-yarder. I was going to say, forget about Jacoby Brissett for a second. The rookie kicker came in a day where nobody could hit diddly squat and hit a 58-yarder to win the game, I see. That was nuts.
Can we talk about the Chiefs kicker, the one that came in to back up Butker? What is he, an O-line, a D-line?
No, Jeff Reed. Eric Reed.
Eric
Reed, that's his name.
Destroyed it.
I mean, there's a video, I'll send it to you after the podcast, a video of him in training camp. He was taking 65-yard field goals, and just they looked like they were good from 80. He was just swapping. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. And we discussed it. I mean, if we want to get into the kickers, we can talk about kickers. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. There's got to be a soccer player out there that can come. I don't know, somebody that you can call up. From the MLS, and hey, what are you doing this off?
That's a great
phrase. Oh, yeah. You want to come kick some footballs? Get it done. I don't know. Someone's got to be able to do this accurately. But hey, bottom line, Baker Mayfield started off real rusty, started off real bad, but was down 13 points in the fourth quarter, figured out a way to almost come back and win. His defense sucked. But hey, Baker. We love watching Baker.
You still love watching Baker. By the way, Sam Monson made a great point about he's from PFF. I listened to their podcast, him and Steve Palzola, and he loves rugby, former rugby player. So he mentioned that he thinks kickers in the NFL should have a dual purpose, like an Eric Reed. Right? Meaning if you're going to have kickers, don't let them waste space. Let them be a special teams player. Let them, meaning you know, go out there, maybe a backup safety. Let them have a dual purpose so that they serve another purpose other than just taking up a roster spot to come out for, you know, 5% of the game. So that's an interesting thought. But again, you said the kickers is a whole different topic to begin with. One thing I want to take out from this Browns game is that clearly the Browns are intending on running the ball a whole heck of a lot. That's for darn sure. And Jacoby Brissett's a game manager. I think that the Browns offense is suited for a game manager like him. They can win a few games with him. hot take, Browns might come into Deshaun Watson's stint with around a 500 record. But no, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But point being that the Browns can... It's possible. The Browns also have an easy schedule at Jets next week. Easy schedule at the top end of the season. But point being that the Browns are going to run the ball very effectively this year. That offensive line is going to be able to travel well, no matter what the weather is. The run game is going to travel well. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are not going anywhere. They're good threats out of the backfield for a quarterback like Jacoby Brissett. Can't do a whole lot, but he can get the ball to his playmakers. Even though they don't have an incredible amount of playmakers on the outside, he doesn't need to. That running game can be effective enough where the Browns can win a couple games here. Now, granted, they beat a not very good Panthers team, but this is just symbolic of what the Browns can do in the first 11 games of the season without Deshaun Watson. They can compete, especially with the Steelers suffering their severe injury, which we'll talk about in a few minutes here. And, I really think that they can win a few games. I'm not saying they'll make the playoffs and it's stacked AFC. But what I'm saying is that they can win a few games. They can win a few games this year. That's really what I'm saying. Now, on the flip side, you're absolutely right about the Panthers and Baker. Baker, other than that one great pass to Robbie Anderson towards the end of the game, which was a really nice pass, I'm not going to lie. And he had good vision on that rushing touchdown as well. Brought them back in the game, gave him the lead. It wasn't a good day for Baker. It was not a good day for Baker. And revenge tour spoiled. Revenge tour has been spoiled. So no revenge for Baker Mayfield. Maybe revenge for Russell Wilson tonight. We'll see. No revenge for Joe Flacco either. But we won't get too much into that.
Was he looking for revenge?
Right, that's the question. It didn't even look like he was. Throwing the balls into the ground. At the end of the day, I mean,
that Jets team was just not...
He's exactly. It's funny because on the telecast they were saying like, "Oh, Joe Flacco said he's in the best shape. He feels the same way he did 10 years ago. He has the same arm he did 10 years ago." And then he said, "This is Joe Flacco's words, not mine. I was never very athletic to begin with, so I'm the same athletic as I was 10 years ago. Never very quick to begin with." So you heard that, Misty. No, they were talking about that. All right, where are we going next, guys? Should we head to the next segment or maybe one more headline? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Rams over here for a second, okay? Because, I don't know, it felt like so long ago that we probably forgot about it. But, Meisty, are the Rams, like, going to struggle more than we think this year? Or is it just they just got their you-know-what whooped by the Super Bowl favorites? Which one is it, Meisty?
Rephrase this question. Will the NFC West have a team over 500?
Bold of you. Very good.
The Bills are just that good. Josh Allen, I mean, we've been saying it for the last 3 years that he's going to win the Super Bowl, right? He's got to do it eventually. We've been molding the two into, I don't even know the right word to use, into tuition for him to win it. So, but the Bills just all around, their best player in defense wasn't, Morty's laughing at me. The Bills player was,
just dropped tuition. Defense.
Yeah. Intuition. Bills' best defender wasn't even on the field. Let's start with that, right? So, and they still crushed them. Tre'Davious White was off without, and they still crushed them. I think the Bills are even better. Their schedule, their division, is way weaker than I really thought. I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen with Miami. They still have a lot to work out there and still have a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new coaches. So there's still a lot to work out there. But other than that, the Patriots, I mean, congratulations to Bill Belichick. He just lost his 100th game as the head coach of the Patriots. Finally, he lost
100 games. Well, congratulations on the loss.
Congrats, Bill.
Congrats, Bill.
I haven't searched Bill Belichick's. I wanted to see. Yeah, he just lost. So it's 100 games. Congratulations to him. And the division's easy there, and Buffalo should be able to cruise through there. So I think Buffalo's really just that good.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is just that good. And, you know, an interesting phenomenon that played out in week 1 is that neither the AFC South nor the NFC West earned a win on Sunday. And we're still barring the Seahawks Monday Night Football game. But if the Seahawks fail to upset the Broncos tonight, both those divisions, all 8 teams will come out of week 1 without a win. So I agree with you. The Bills are just that good. Josh Allen continues to impress me, continues to get better. 5 incompletions on the day. 2 of them were interceptions, which is quite unbelievable. One of them sort of popped out of McKenzie's hands and went into to the defender. So it wasn't quite his fault. So maybe 1 or 2 bad plays in there, but for the most part, he was fantastic. I mean, that receiving core they have over there, they have depth. They have one of the best defenses, top 5 defense in football. There's very few holes on this roster. Like, one of the most complete all-around teams in football, them and the Bucs probably. The Bucs probably a little less because, the offensive line probably declined a little this season, but the Bills certainly have one of the best overall rosters in football. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, it's going to be hard to to beat them. It's going to be very hard to beat them. And I actually have a good overreaction for them when we get to the overreaction. Actually, should we get to them now?
Why not?
All right, let's do it. Okay, number one overreaction from week one. Now, week one overreactions are my favorite because context is completely thrown out the window, meaning it's week one. I mean, the odds are that by the time week five comes along, we won't even remember what happened in week one, right? That often happens. By the time week two comes around, we don't even happen in week one because our minds sort of work in the short term sometimes. We sort of just remember what we saw. What have you done for me lately? I always say sports is a what have you done for me lately industry. But with that being said, why not overreact to some of these things in week one? Sticking on the bad divisions, the poor divisions, I'm going to go out and say that the AFC South will not feature a single winning team this season. Not the Colts, not the Titans, not the Jaguars, and not the Texans. Now, the Texans, some of the draft picks seem to pan out on Sunday against the Colts, but this division is not good. Now, all of us came out before the season, and I think the Colts were pretty much the consensus favorite, despite the Titans winning that conference last year. Despite them winning the conference last year, Meisty. But it was weird, right? We were all telling ourselves, well, the Titans really shouldn't be here. They really won a couple games that they shouldn't have. They kept on beating the Bills and the Rams and the best teams in football, and it made absolutely no sense. The Titans didn't really belong there, we said, especially losing Derrick Henry and still winning games throughout the course of the season and somehow coming out with the AFC title. But the Colts might struggle this season more than we think. I mean, that passing game is going to be a little similar to the passing game they had with Phillip Rivers there. It might be a little slow, might be a little sluggish, although their roster is pretty good all around. We already know the Jaguars and Texans aren't going to have winning records this year. I think that the AFC South, Meisty, might have four losing teams. How about that?
I don't know, Rocky. The Colts are bad this year, but I can't say that they're that bad.
It's an overreaction. It's an overreaction.
Way overreaction.
I know is that if by the end of the season this is true, I'm gonna be all over it. That's all I know. That's the beauty about week one. You could sort of overreact to things, and if it doesn't pan out, you could tell yourself, well, it was just an overreaction anyway. And if it does pan out, you could tell yourself, look how big of a genius I am. But in reality, you win some, you lose some.
Okay, let me hit you with this overreaction, Rocky.
All right, hit me.
Carson Wentz is back. No. No, I'll give you my overreaction to it all. Overall, this week, my number one overreaction that I overreacted is that Trey Lance is bad and that they should bring back Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter and keep it that way. I know it was raining, but he looked awful. He looked confused out there. The Bears aren't a good team, and they made him look like they made themselves look good. The Bears defense looked good because of him. That's never a good thing for your quarterback. You're talking about week one, but yeah.
Just a point there. First of all, yeah, like you said, like the weather was crazy, but I think having Jimmy Garoppolo there is a detriment to Trey Lance. Like having Jimmy Garoppolo on the sideline, kind of like arms crossed, looking at you like the cover of a magazine, like that puts pressure on you, knowing that you could be replaced at any second by a more reliable quarterback. I think it's a lot of pressure on a new QB like Trey Lance, and I don't know. I think they should get rid of him.
Hey, go ahead.
I hear what you're saying.
It's from PMT. Is what they were.
Oh, you said it's just completely get rid of him. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
I've heard this. By the way, Morty, I've heard this discussion. I heard both sides. In fact, one is that, well, Trey Lance, the poor young guy. He's a young quarterback. He's coming in there, and you're already putting a guy that's essentially threatening his job the second he doesn't play well, right? But on the other hand, if he's really that good, it shouldn't affect him. So I've seen both sides of this. I don't know because I don't know what's going on in the psyche of Trey Lance. That's the problem. But what I do know is that it's an interesting hot take, Meisty. I do think we should give Trey Lance a little more time, especially in the monsoon that occurred on Sunday. That was not really a good game to bring a proof from, but it's an overreaction, and I respect your overreaction nonetheless.
Can I give you one more?
Please, as many as you
want.
The Browns
are going over 500 this year with Jacoby Brissett.
That you actually stole mine. We didn't discuss this before the podcast, but I was going to go along the Browns one. I gave you the Browns, but that's a good one as well. I have another one as well. I have a couple more, actually. But going on the Dak Prescott thing, right? Now, Dak is going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks, so it doesn't work as well. I sort of had this thought yesterday as I was watching the Cowboys-Bucks game before Dak went out. But I'm going to go and say it. Dak Prescott will end the season as a bottom 10 QB in the league. Again, he does not have a great situation there in Dallas. CeeDee Lamb is the only weapon in there. Gallup seems to have a lot of struggle staying healthy. So James Washington's going to be the number two receiver there. Aside from that, Dak Prescott's just been getting a little worse as his career has progressed. I mean, it's not like he's this great quarterback. He's had a couple great years, but I've never had an incredible amount of faith in him, and I have even less faith in him, especially coming back from a thumb injury. We saw how Russell Wilson struggled last year when he returned from that thumb injury. With that being said, I think easily Dak Prescott could end in the lower echelon of the league and a bottom 10 quarterback. That's right, Mikey. A bottom 10 quarterback by the end of the season. Morty is nodding. Morty, he loves it. He loves the enthusiasm. It's great. We're making everyone happy.
Did I not say in our preview that the Cowboys are going to have a losing record this season?
Amen, brother.
You did.
Let me hit you with this one, Rocky.
Let's go, baby.
Saquon Barkley will lead the league in rushing yards this year. And Brian Daboll's offensive system, I mean, dude, he loves running the ball, this guy. And in a league of passing, this man loves running the ball. And if you think about the crazy part about what I'm saying is, and this is why we call it an overreaction, because Saquon Barkley over the last two seasons had a minimum 150 carries is what it says, put up 164 rushing yards total over two seasons or something like that. That wasn't what it was. That was just this week. Sorry. In this week alone, he put up 164 and a touchdown in this week's win. He was last in NFL in yards per carry over the last two seasons. Sorry about that. And on Sunday, he was fantastic. He looked like a bulldog. He was just huffing and puffing down the field, never wanted to come off the field. When Saquon Barkley is healthy, he's certainly a top five running back. I have him coming in at RB1 this year. Christian McCaffrey will get hurt, and everyone else is getting hurt. And something's wrong with Derrick Henry, by the way. They are not telling us, but they kept him on the sideline for most of the game yesterday.
I like that. I like that one. I like the Saquon Barkley one. I was a big fan of him before the season. Nobody's competing with him in the backfield, so you have to assume he's going to get most of the carries, and as a result, could definitely end the season as the top rusher. I like that one a lot. I have another couple, but let me just hit you with this one first. The Bills will win 15 games this season. And with the amount of dominance that, and that's in the AFC. It's not an easy thing to do. But the Patriots don't look very good, Meisty. And the Jets are not good at all. You know, they're not in a good division. And the Patriots just don't have a lot of talented players. You gave me that look when I said something about the Patriots. But the Patriots, do they have any game changers in the offense? Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, all right. These are all right players. Mac Jones is an okay quarterback. I mean, we'll see if he can step up his game this year. The Dolphins have game changers, but they don't have a very good quarterback. So, I mean, honestly, they could sweep this division. They could win 15 games in the AFC this year, Meisty. With what we saw in week one, if you just took week one in a scope and they blew the Rams out, the defending Super Bowl champs, Bills winning 15 games this year. Now, do I honestly think the Bills are going to win 15 games this year? Probably not. That's a very, very, very difficult feat to accomplish in this conference. But hey, we're overreacting to week one. That's what I got.
I gave you that face, actually, was when you mentioned the Bills going 15-2, I sent a text to somebody. I said, very possibly over the next two seasons, the Bills go 15-2.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I was like, I got to find the text.
Great minds think alike, yep.
Now, one last one to overreact. It's not really an overreaction. This can really happen. It's not something that we can overreact to, but the bottom line is Baltimore Ravens ran for 63 yards. This is a team that's the biggest running team in the league. Ran for a total of 63 yards. Now, the Jets did fantastic job by the Jets defensively against the run. They were stopping them at the line a lot, didn't give up any big runs, contained Lamar for the most part, not allowing him to run too much. What was it? Lamar Jackson was 17 for 30 for 213 yards. He threw for what? Three touchdowns, right? So he could have 35 plus touchdowns this year.
Ooh, that's a bold one. Wow. Okay.
They're going to throw the ball. We'll see. Because listen, J.K. Dobbins is out. Makes a big difference. That's a lot of carries that they'll continue to go. I mean, he should be able to feast in the running game, especially against, you know, there'll be games that they just destroy teams and not bring out Lamar. But I think he could have 35 plus touchdowns this year.
Yeah, I respect it. Listen, I respect it. I think that the Ravens did not feature Lamar Jackson in enough designed runs yesterday. They still pulled out the win because they played a bad Jets team, but it's going to be a little more tested next week against the Dolphins. I have one more, and I don't think this is true at all. And my old self would tell you, Rocky, what the heck are you saying? You're contradicting yourself. But it's week one. I'm going to overreact. The Kansas City Chiefs will not miss a beat without Tyreek Hill. Not a beat. Travis Kelce is gonna. What?
It really seems like they're not.
They're not. Travis Kelce's gonna come in there. I love Tyreek Hill. He's a game changer. He's a game changer. It's gonna be a huge loss for the Chiefs. But listen, Travis Kelce comes in there and looks like the old Tyreek Hill. He's not as fast. You can't expect him to make as many people miss after the catch. But you sort of like what they're doing there. They brought in Juju Smith. They brought in Valdez Scantling. Mecole Hardman. You have guys that can do different things at different parts of the field. With that fantastic, top-notch Hall of Fame tight end, Travis Kelce, and an improved, one of the better offensive lines in football, he's going to have time to throw in the pocket. We're going to really get to see, which I'm excited about. How good is Patrick Mahomes? Is he this Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that we think he is over the first bunch of years of his career? Or maybe he's a product of his great receivers. So far, week one, he proved to us, I'm just that good. That's what Patty told us. I'm just that good. So perhaps I'm suggesting, as a week one overreaction, that the Chiefs will not skip a beat without
maybe
one.
The question isn't how good Mahomes is. It really is how much better was Travis Kelce and how much was Tyreek Hill holding him back.
A good one as well. A good one as well that we'll discover this year as well. I definitely think so. Morty, you got any overreactions before we move on?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward to me. I think the Eagles have a pretty clear route to the Super Bowl this year, especially with Dak out. That's a free win against their first matchup against the Cowboys. The rest of their schedule is really looking very, very winnable. We're going to see next Monday Night Football against the Vikings. We're going to see exactly they're going to be put to the test a little bit. One of the best lines in football. One of the best run games in football. They did just have an injury. Derek Barnett is out with a torn ACL. So we'll see how that changes things up. But they really played the Lions in a high-scoring game. And it was closer than it should have been. Now, that being said, the Lions aren't great, but they do have Hutchinson, who tears through the line like it's a knife through butter. You see him tearing through. A lot of the times he runs through so fast, and he like goes for the quarterback. He's running too fast, and he'll like overshoot it by like 5 yards, and he's got to like scramble to get back up. But I really do think the Eagles, I don't even know if this is an overreaction. The Eagles have a very clear shot at the Super Bowl. And, you know, time will tell, but they're going. They're going to do it. They're going to do it again.
Morty, unless they plan to bring in Nick Foles for the playoff run, they ain't winning nothing, all right? Let's just start that. Because we all know that in Philadelphia, unless you're going to bring in the backup man, ain't nobody winning.
You guys are great.
I mean, we do have the best running quarterback of last year and the best run game of last year. So, I don't know.
Oh, he's throwing some shade saying Lamar's not the best running quarterback.
I respect that pick a lot.
You did say, Aaron, you did say that the Ravens have the best run game in football, which is just blatantly false.
The best running quarterback in football history the Ravens have.
I mean,
right, but Jalen Hurts might be the second. That's the problem.
I think throwing number two is still pretty solid.
But Michael Vick, I don't know that. I mean, he's still
right, Mike Vick, Michael Vick.
But yes, possibly. He possibly could be. Very possible. Lamar already beat him. Lamar already surpassed Michael Vick already.
Lamar's a different breed.
Jackson,
right.
Vick, correct. But you have Vick and you have Jalen Hurst, but that's your next Jalen Hurst next pass. Yeah, he could pass Michael Vick easily. Why can't he? I mean, he's more creative. It's a new era of football. He can be on the run. He can be throwing it 90 yards down the field. I mean, it's football, and he should be able to surpass.
By the way, no moral victories for the Lions this year. I mean, it's about time they get a couple actual wins. I know Dan Campbell will tell them the same thing in the locker room, I'm sure. No moral victories, but last year we sort of felt bad for them. They came back in a couple of games and made it close and lost a couple heartbreakers at the end. But we're not feeling bad for them this year. It's time to take a step up and win 5 or 6 games this year. You know what I'm saying, Mikey? It's time for them to compete with the big boys, and we expect them to be good in a couple of years here. We expect them to contend for a playoff spot. I expect them to. I think they're going in the right direction. The trajectory's up, but they got to win some games here. They got to take some games here for the Lions, you know? And this one, okay, we'll give them a pass against a good Eagles team, no doubt, but I'm not going for those moral victories anymore, Meisty. It's not happening.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, the question is, if there's a year for them to do it, why not this year, man? The division looks a little weaker. I know that the what's it called are up there. I know that the Vikings are good this year, but you could have a Packers team. You can make a playoff spot. It's an open playoff spot for them, technically. Now, that's an overreaction, but
because Jared Goff is their quarterback.
because Jared Goff is a quarterback and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any receivers, so therefore Aaron Rodgers is going to miss the playoffs and Jared Goff is going to come in and take that spot.
Whoa! Okay, we'll stop the overreactions over there. Not-
All right, enough.
Can we move on to the next?
Rocky, my favorite meme, content.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, we got to put that up on the pod right here. Content. All right, baby. Anyway, should we move on to Rocky's World? Should we do it? Let's move on.
We'll be right back to this episode of the Rocky and Meisty Show. But first, I have a message for all you sports bettors out there. Listen, the NFL season is right around the corner, and what better place to start than BetUS? Using our link and promo code in the description below, you can access a sign-up bonus of up to 125%. That's right, a figure unmatched in the industry, special for our loyal listeners. You can bet on all of your favorite sports, including NFL, MLB, and UFC. You can access live betting odds, parlays, props, and so much more. BetUS truly is the best all-around sports betting experience. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead, press the link in the description below, and get started today.
Yeah, we ready? All right, let's go. We're moving on to a new segment, and we call this segment Rocky's Roll Call. Now, what Rocky's roll call is one guy, or two guys, or a group of guys, but mainly one guy, maybe an extension of one guy, that outperformed this week. And it doesn't have to be above expectations per se, although I will be looking for the under-the-radar type of player. It's a little more exciting, make it a little more out of the box. Otherwise, I'd probably just put Aaron Donald up there every week, or Patrick Mahomes, or someone like that. But I want to find someone, and maybe one of these weeks I will do Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Donald, but I want to find someone that maybe we won't get every week and just balled out this week. He just absolutely balled out. Maybe he even lost, maybe in a losing effort, but he just absolutely balled out this week. And this week I'm going to start actually with co-one, I guess you call it. And that is TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. These guys absolutely balled out this week. Forced Joe Burrow to 5 turnovers. They made the best quarterback in football last year look like a clown. TJ Watt had a pass rush win rate of 17.9, 2 pressures, 5 knocked down balls. Knocked down 5 balls yesterday in limited action. Didn't play the entire game, Meisty. Minka Fitzpatrick, this man was a beast. Other than the pick 6, other than the 91.6 PFF grade, which was the highest in the game, the game leading 14 tackles, blocked an extra point to give the Steelers life and ultimately led to their victory. Minka Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt were all over the place and give the Bengals all sorts of problems. It gives me a little concern, although maybe I shouldn't be because they are two very talented players. It gives me a little concern about what this Bengals offensive line, which was supposedly improved, is going to do throughout the course of the season. But anyway, they feasted on that Bengals offensive line, did TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. And there got my Rockies roll call for this week, baby. Minka Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt. Now, unfortunately, TJ Watt might not get it again this season because he might be out for the rest of the season. But for this week, credit where credit is due. So at least I'm going to try to get him in there while we can. I have one more guy, but Meisty, if you have someone, please.
Go for it. Hit us. Give us
honorable mention. Honorable mention. Okay, so I think this one's pretty obvious, right? I mean, we all know how great this guy played on Sunday. Justin Jefferson. This guy's going to get just tons of targets again, like the Davante Adams effect. I mean, they don't, you know, the Raiders don't quite have their Adam Thielen, but they have their Hunter Renfro. And despite that, Justin Jefferson is going to get tons of targets, tons of receptions, 184 yards. The rest of the team had under 100 yards, Meisty. He had 184 yards, nearly double the rest of the team combined, 9 receptions. His reception rate was 97.1. His pass rating when targeted was over 150. I mean, Kirk Cousins is just going to feast this guy. He's so accurate when he can put the ball in any place where he can have it. He's almost always open. So you don't really have to give him a jump ball or anything. He's a fantastic route runner. But there's no doubt that Justin Jefferson is a guy that's going to be a part of Minnesota's future. I would assume probably at some point this offseason, they're going to sign him to a big extension, and he's going to be a part of that future no matter, or they're going to attempt to make him a part of the future no matter who is a quarterback under center for the Minnesota Vikings, Meisty. So Justin Jefferson. So I got TJ Watt / Minka Fitzpatrick and Justin Jefferson as my honorable mention. You got anyone, Meisty?
Somebody. I got you. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Bottom line is this. Okay. Tyreek Hill left the Chiefs, and we were all like, okay, it's Patrick Mahomes. There's Andy Reid. They brought in all these other receivers, Scantling and Juju. We still had Travis Kelce. They still had somewhat of a – I mean, their defense is still questionable, but the bottom line is this. Didn't matter to Patrick Mahomes. His coach is Andy Reid. His best player is Travis Kelce. What a performance he had. He went 30 for 39, 360 yards, and five touchdowns. Right, the Chiefs destroyed the Cardinals in every aspect of the game practically. But Mahomes himself, he might be the best September quarterback of all time. Listen to this stat. I don't know why this just came across my screen. Mahomes has now thrown 46 touchdown passes and only three interceptions in 14 career September games. That is more than anyone else in off spread. So, hey, he knows how to start a season. But if there's somebody that really showed up in a week where people were like, I don't know, it's the Cardinals, right? There was a lot of question marks. And he was like, I'm Patrick Mahomes. This is why I have the biggest contract in NFL history. And this is why I deserve it. And if you want to give me an honorable mention, I'll throw someone in there. Justin Fields is my honorable mention. And I'll tell you why. I'm very into the Bears and always hating on the Bears. But I'll say this. He played a good team. The 49ers aren't a bad team. There's a lot of question marks, obviously. We've talked about that in the past, right? But in a game where there was just – it was a mudslide. It was pouring rain. Weather was crazy. He made some heroic plays, came through at the end of the game for them, made it happen, drove his team to win the game at the end of the day. So Justin Fields, good job showing up and winning. Listen, it's week one, yeah, but you won, and that's what's important. You're 1-0. That's huge for him. That's huge for the Bears. And that's my honorable mention.
Respect to Justin Fields for pulling out the victory there. Nobody saw that coming. I think there were two games this week where we were like, okay, we could sort of see them keeping it close but not winning. The Bears Niners and the Titans Giants, and somehow both the underdogs pulled off those victories. So that was impressive as well. Okay, fair enough. And I like Mahomes. Listen, Mahomes is always a good one. How he showed up this week with, as we all doubted him and we thought that, he wouldn't be as successful as we did. He balled out. He absolutely balled out. So, okay, so should we go on to the betting props? Should we go on to the betting?
Do we have a
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, so yeah, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through some like just wild bets from this week. I have a good one. I have a really funny bet, either that didn't hit or that did hit. I don't know. You could do whatever you want. Make it a spread. Make it an over-under. Make it a prop. Whatever you guys want. I'll start off, okay? Now, do you guys know how many minutes of football the Texans and Colts played this week? Again, a math guru. Do you have a math guru here?
No, you're the PFF analyst.
75 minutes. Oh, no, 70 or 75. I don't remember how. Overtime.
70 minutes, because now overtime's 10 minutes. 70 minutes of football. Right. Now, one would imagine that 70 minutes of football, you can hit a 46-point over-under. And yet they didn't. They still under the 46 points after 70 minutes of football. That's how sad that game was. Texas, we're just like, we're not hitting this under. I feel like the Colts went to the Texans before and said, don't hit the under. Don't whatever you do. We tie if we need to, but don't hit the under.
Sweating that under.
I'm like, can you imagine the guy that hit that under thinking, oh man, now it's overtime for sure. This is gonna smash. Someone's gonna get a touchdown. Someone's gonna get two field goals. Whatever it is, no question, we're not gonna get the under. And sure enough, Colts Texans pulls through, baby. You know what this tells me? Next time the Colts play the Texans, I'm hitting that under.
Listen, if you're the guy that's betting the under, you deserve to suffer for it.
100%. I just found that very comical. Who's next?
I got a biggest loser of the week. None other than El Presidente, who put a small $150,000 wager on the Cowboys money line. And that's just it just makes me happy. I don't like to see our boy Dave lose money like that, but I do like to watch Cowboys lose.
Goodness gracious. That's a big money line. Jeez. Who's putting that much money on anyone?
Dave Porter, that's you. Arnie, got anybody?
Biggest loser is obviously Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Devontae Adams is having himself a heyday. I mean, yeah, he lost, but Aaron Rodgers is frustrated. He hates his rookie receivers, never liked his rookie receivers. They're not very good. They're running into each other in the middle of the routes. He's completely not in control of them. I think he's high on hibachi, whatever he's eating these days. And I think that Aaron Rodgers needs to calm down, take control of the team, run his offense. He's, 18th year, and you're still, turning to your coaches to help you run the offense? Look at Brady. Look at Manning at the end. Look at Breeze. He's got – and Breeze had a great coach, but and so did Brady. But these guys still, they take control of the offense. They gather the offense around during on the sideline. They start knocking the players like, hey, this is what you need to be doing. You can't be running into each other. You can't be doing these things. Aaron Rodgers comes to the sideline, starts throwing down the helmet, takes the clipboard, and he's screaming at the coaches. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's week one. Calm down. There are a bunch of rookies. They're getting into it. Help them. Help your rookies out. Stop being Aaron Rodgers the jerk. Be Aaron Rodgers the good man that we all know that beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, okay?
Did Aaron Rodgers have, like, money on the game or something?
Probably. He probably gambles on all the games.
All right. It's just, okay. I have one more here. I have an against all odds. Someone put down a $29 bet on the Pittsburgh defense being the first touchdown scorer at plus 4,800 odds, cashed out at $1,400 on a $29 bet.
Imagine
picking the defense being first touchdown scorer.
That is very funny. I like that one. So one for tonight that Meisty posted on the chat, which the game starts here in a few minutes. Yes, I might have to leave the podcast momentarily to turn on my TV. Are we going Manningcast?
Breaking news.
We're going
Russ got booed. Poor guy.
No. Yeah. Really? Did he really get booed?
Cold reception from Seahawks.
Yeah, what a freaking shit. What they did for that organization. They're going to boo him? Oh, what a chutzpah. Anyway, point being that where was I going to go? Do you guys do Manningcast, or are you guys just straight up like the main telecast?
If the game is boring enough, I'll switch to the Manningcast because
I don't know who the announcers are this year either. Depends on who the announcers are.
No, it's Joe Buck and what didn't they switch? Fox now tied. What's the expression? Anyway, Fox doesn't have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman anymore. They work for ESPN Monday Night Football, I believe now. So it's going to be them. So which is not bad, by the way.
Joe Buck
and Troy Aikman. I think they do Monday Night Football this year.
I don't know, someone
can confirm that. You're watching. That's supposed to be a reason to watch the main telecast, Meisty, not Manningcast. But I completely agree with you. I love the Mannings breaking down the game. They're very funny. They're comical. And at the same time, they actually know their stuff well, considering they were quarterbacks for 15, 20 years, whatever it was. They and both won multiple Super Bowls, so they know their stuff. Yeah, I'm going Manningcast all the way, man.
It's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You are correct. So I will be watching Manningcast, yes.
Okay, let's turn it on. We can take a two-minute break. No, I'm kidding. A couple minutes. I wanted to do one thing for tonight, as I mentioned, and then went off on a tangent about the Manningcast. Meisty posted it on the chat. 87% of the spread bets, that's Broncos 6.5, are going toward the Broncos minus 6.5. And 89% of the money line bets are going, it's right, Broncos minus 295, are going toward the Broncos. Now, could we just envision this for a second? Seahawks win the game, okay? Let's envision this for a second. What party are they throwing in Vegas tonight? That's what I want to know. I mean, I know the Raiders lost yesterday, and they're probably not so happy about that, but money trumps all, you know what I'm saying? So Vegas is going for the Seahawks tonight.
I may or may not be joining Vegas on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm joining Vegas on this
one. I do. I had a free bet, so I took the Seahawks spread.
There you go.
Oh, you took the Seahawks spread.
Yeah, I'm betting with Vegas.
Look at that. Well, hopefully it pans out. All right, that's my last one. You guys have any other bets, props, anything else?
Meisty, any more vendettas?
I hate betting week one always because you really don't know. There's nothing to back up. Your stats are garbage. You're reading articles all off season that's throwing you off. This, that. Do this, do that. You're kind of so much still into fantasy because you did all your drafts, and so you're like, oh, you're hot on this guy, you're cold on that guy. You're not really, you never have it correctly. Some things obviously are more obvious than others, but for the most part, I like to try to stick to no betting week one, no betting for the rest of the season, no betting week one.
Responsible gambling.
Please call 1-800-GAMBLING if you had a gambling
addiction. Every time we talk about gambling on the show. Gamble responsibly, and yes.
Speaking of fantasy, Rocky,
do not request Venmos for actually. I don't have Venmo. Do not request Zelles for me. I will not be paying them.
Rocky, we have our matchup tonight. We have Sutton versus Javonte Williams.
Ooh, I need Titans to go crazy.
-17. So Mike Evans pulled through for you last night. It was a one-point game heading into Sunday Night Football. Mike Evans got 16 or 17 for you, and you're up by 17 now. I got Javonte. You got Sutton. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm going to need a good 30 from Javonte Williams tonight. So anything is possible, I suppose, Morty, but it's been a good game. Sort of looked like you were pulling away there for a little, but then Davante Adams decided
it's not fair. It's not having Davante Adams like cheat codes.
It's a cheat in a PPR league. It's an absolute cheat code. Like, it's not
I'm
even
beginning
fair,
to regret the full PPR decision.
I think everyone except for me, because I own Davante Adams and those Justin Jefferson owners.
Kelsey.
Those Justin Jefferson owners. Yeah, that's what I think.
Justin Jefferson in the seventh pick guy? Yeah, me?
I know, PPR, you're right. It's actually a really good move. Okay, I don't think I have any more bets yet either. So, by the way, week one, I wanted to mention one more thing before we get to the trivia. We got some fun trivia coming up. You're right, you're totally right about week one, Meisty. Now, what's fun about week one is that there's a lot of just interesting hype going on around so many teams. I didn't think the Giants were going to beat the Titans. Who saw that coming? I didn't think the Bears were going to beat the Niners. So now let's overreact to it. But in all reality, these things tend to even out throughout the course of a season. There are always surprise teams that are good either for the positive or for the negative that don't do as well as they're supposed to, that either exceed expectations or below expectations. But at the end of the day, week one is not the week to derive that information from. Week one is to just sit back, enjoy, and just for the entertainment of football. And as Chris Collinsworth mentioned on the Sunday Night Football last night, a lot of these guys could be a little more rusty, less preseason, only 3 weeks. A lot of the starting quarterbacks have been playing in preseason the last few years. That could definitely lead to some more rust, and as a result, not the offensive outputs that we expected in week one, but completely agreed, by Steve. It should be taken with a grain of salt.
As the text sent to you earlier today that I sent you, Bengals-Steelers was insane, Saints-Falcons was bizarre, Colts-Texans was crazy, Browns-Panthers was nuts, Eagles-Lions was epic, Jaguars-Commanders was close, and the Jets got crushed. Football is back, baby. Let's go.
That is week one in a shell. All right, and let's wrap it up with our trivia, baby. We got some good trivia. Our producer, Morty's been working hard to get some. We don't know the answers. We don't even know the answers, but not because that we looked them up before, just because we're smart
people. You know the
people.
Questions?
Anyway, I don't know the questions.
He just knows the answers.
Who's colluding here? Okay. Let's get started, Morty. Okay, I'm for this.
Okay, so to start off, I think I have 7 questions here, so it's going to be best of three, first of three, I guess, or best of four, first of four, best of 7, right? Okay, so, we're going to start off with a look back on last season, just because, you know, we did touch on a lot of these trivia points, over the course of this podcast, and it was hard for me not to bring up certain stats, but we'll get it out here, so. Let's start it off.
We got to do the ding, right?
Ding to put in your guess, and ding. We'll get it started here. Okay, let's get the boys back to Monday Night Football. Which team had the most players suit up for them last season?
Which ding,
team? Rocky.
Oh, Titans. I didn't say ding.
Who?
Titans.
Titans. Correct. For all the complaining that the Ravens fans gave.
Ravens were number 3, I think. Number 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. Number 2 or 3.
Because okay. The Giants were 2, I think.
Oh, makes sense.
All right, very good. Question number 2. Nearly 200 QBs have started in 50-plus NFL games since 1950. There are 29 quarterbacks in the roster in 2021 who had 1,500 career attempts. Only one of these quarterbacks have never thrown a pick 6.
Ding.
Meisty?
Who?
Tom Brady.
Incorrect.
It was just the lucky guys.
200 QBs since 1950.
Only one out of the last 70 years thrown a pick 6.
That has started 200 QBs that have started 50-plus NFL games since 1950. Only one has not thrown a pick 6.
I'm going to take a random guess. Steve Young.
No, he's playing.
Oh, he's playing now?
Oh, yeah. If Rocky misses this, then Meisty gets another guess.
Josh Allen.
Incorrect.
No.
1,500 career attempts.
Justin Herbert.
Incorrect. 1,500 career attempts.
He hasn't played enough. He hasn't played enough.
You're right. He's not playing long enough. Give me a second. I got it. Ding. Kirk Cousins.
Incorrect. Okay, Rocky's gonna go, and then I think we're gonna call it. And I get a point for this.
Yeah, Morty gets 1 point for this. Okay, let me give another second just to think about this, and then we will move on. So I can. It's a starting quarterback. Are you allowed to say if he's a starting quarterback?
He is. Yeah. He's
starting for a team today. He's starting for a team today. Oh. So it can't be him.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Mentioned him in this podcast. I'm not actually no hints. It's unfair.
Okay, you were about to go off. You just...
I just spelled it out for you.
Dak Prescott.
No, Carson Wentz.
No. Carson Wentz? Is that a joke?
He's throwing the most.
Is that Ryan?
Rocky, you've infamously said he's barely an NFL quarterback, but Mitch Trubisky has never thrown a pick six in his NFL career.
That's actually pretty shocking. I would not have thought that.
He's never thrown the ball accurately enough for even the interception to be returned for a touchdown. That's how good he is.
That's exactly it. Meisty hit it on the nose. Enough said about that one.
Okay. Rocky has a point. I have a point. Meisty, you're still at zero. Okay, next question. Tom Brady is undefeated against how many teams?
Dink.
Rocky.
Three.
If you can name three... Incorrect. Meisty. Can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Meisty.
One.
Incorrect. Okay, now, Rocky, you're going to have a chance to name as many teams as you can. You can start... Start, and then I'll tell you when you get three wrong, I'll cut you off.
Falcons.
Correct.
Seahawks.
Eh.
Oh, he lost in the Super Bowl to the Seahawks, didn't he? Oh, no, he beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he beat
Tom Brady, the Patriots. Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, Patriots beat the Seahawks. Bears.
Incorrect.
Lions.
Incorrect. Meisty, go for it.
Ready?
Yeah. Remember, Rocky already got one.
Which one did he say?
Falcons.
Right. No, I was about to say that. Okay. He never lost to the Buccaneers or the Patriots. Let's start with those two.
There we go.
In the last, right.
Right. He's not, and then he never lost to the Cowboys. I just heard that today.
One more. You got one more, Meisty.
Let's see. So it's got to be.
No, that's three.
It's
four so far.
You're saying there's five total.
There are five total teams.
Right. Yeah. So it has to be a team in the NFC because he played the AFC all again and again and again constantly. The NFC.
That's what I was thinking as well. Right. I was thinking the same exact thing.
It's got to be a team that wasn't always so good throughout those 20 years of his career, because then why would he be playing them? Right. Breaking it all down, I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Ding. Correct. Wow.
Oh, good job. Wow. Impressive. One all.
Over 20 years, we set all the other bad teams. We set a bunch of bad teams. Like, I'm just going to hit
good stuff.
That's great.
I didn't think about the Bucks-Patriots twist. I didn't think about that.
We're all tied up. Okay. This NFC quarterback had his 38th career start and his 37th career fumble this week.
This week?
I think so.
NFC quarterback?
NFC quarterback.
Say it one more time.
He had his 37th career fumble on his 38th career start.
Both going to have to think about this one, Meisty. Both going to have to think about this one. All right, though.
Meisty, you can raise your hand.
We'll put it in the podcast.
Ding.
Should we put a do-do-do in the podcast?
Depends how long this takes.
You moments later.
Yeah.
15 minutes later.
No, I'm going to say the guy that had Joe Burrow.
Incorrect.
No, it said NFC.
NFC.
Oh, NFC.
Wrong division. You can get it again. Loses a point.
I'll give it to you again. What about Kyler Murray?
Ooh.
Incorrect.
No, he doesn't fumble it a lot.
They won their game. I'll give you that. They won their game this week.
Yeah, who fumbled it this week? Someone had a big fumble.
Did he? I don't know if he fumbled. Let me just double check that he actually fumbled it this week. I think he did.
Okay, fine. But 36 career somehow, whatever it is.
I have another one, but Meisty, go ahead. You get the. It's your turn because I already picked mine. No Googling.
No Googling.
Yeah. He fumbled this week.
Are you? No. What's happening? Someone who did it? Look it up for me.
No, I literally texted Garrett Schramosis.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
Watching the game. I'm really trying to think. Okay, quarterback.
Quick update: Seahawks up 7-0. In case you guys are
really.
Will Disley touchdown.
Will Disley.
Cast.
Yeah.
Cast. All right. I have one. If you don't, yeah, but go ahead.
Hold on. One more second.
I have to make these questions easier.
I can't think of any NFC quarterbacks right now. They all suck. Give me someone that's young. It's someone young.
Only 38 career starts.
Marcus Mariota.
They lost, and I think he's in more.
Daniel Jones.
Ding. Rocky's got it. Daniel Jones.
I'm like, he's about that old. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rocky's got two.
Feasting on that. All right. How many more we got? Three?
Three more, yeah. This is taking longer than I expected, honestly.
I know. Well, it's tough ones.
Okay. Ready? Okay, now we got a fantasy question. Who were the highest scoring fantasy teammates in a full PPR league, and they were both in the top 10, no QBs?
This week?
Oh, this week.
Moisty's got it.
Ding. We got Justin Jefferson. But you said two players, non-quarterback?
No quarterbacks.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen both had insane games.
Incorrect.
No, it's probably a receiver and a running back. But I don't know what Josh Jacobs did this week. That's my problem.
Saquon and Darius Slayton.
Incorrect.
So what about Devonta Adams and Josh Jacobs?
Incorrect. Rocky, you have another guess.
Oh, because Mycy got two in there? Okay, let's think. It was
one of them was a top five draft pick. Think about it like that.
Mice, you got it?
Mice, you just got
it. Okay, let me think. Wait, let me think for a second. One is McCaffrey. Oh, wait a second. McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson.
Incorrect, Mice.
No. Jonathan Taylor and Michael and Pittman.
Michael Pittman Jr.
I didn't know Pittman.
One is McCaffrey, two, dang, yeah, you got it.
I thought Jonathan Taylor. I knew Jonathan Taylor was number two, but I didn't know. I didn't watch much of the Colts games. I didn't know that. But.
Taylor and Pittman Jr. went for 27.5 and 27.1 points, respectively.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Okay. Moving on. We got a kicker question. There were lots of missed kicks on Sunday, but this kick holder was called for unsportsmanlike conduct for doing what prior to the kick?
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, ding, taunting.
Incorrect.
No. Ding, he put a towel on the floor and tried to keep the floor dry for the kicker in the Bears game.
Correct. Meisty's correct. Good, yeah, the Bears kicker.
I rolled over that one, too. I didn't care to watch it, and I just pulled, but I saw the headline.
He.
Very good.
It's illegal to wipe down the field with an object. You have to use your foot or something. They were going to kick a field goal. And that pushed them out of field goal range. They had to punt because of that penalty.
I did not know that.
Huh. Okay. Our last question.
One more?
One more. I think we're tied? Or no, I think Mycy has a lead. Mycy's
in the lead. 3-2-1. Mycy's in the lead. 2.
Okay. Which player made a record for receiving yards in his team debut?
Ding. Devonta Adams.
Yep. For receiving yards. That may be correct, but that's not the answer that I have.
Oh, what's the answer? What's the question?
Which player made a record for receiving yards in his team? His hit for that team.
Oh, I know. But Mycy's got to guess one first.
For that team's debut?
Yeah.
His first.
Could only be one of two more. Could only be one of two more. Only two more options.
First time on the team, and he dogged out. AJ Brown.
Correct. 155 yards.
There you go, Mycy won.
There we go. Am I?
How many? 155? Devonta Adams got 184.
Is that a Raiders record?
Oh, it's a record for the team.
Yeah, it's a team record.
Sorry. I thought you meant the most in their deep debut. No. I probably would have guessed Devonta Adams anyway. So that doesn't really make a difference. Right.
I also had a Browns question, but that kind of already got talked about. But the Browns did have their first ever 1-0 tweet because Twitter began in 2006, and their last win was in 2004. So they, for the first time ever, they got to tweet 1-0.
Oh, I love that. That's a very good one. I like that a lot. There was another thing about tweets last year, I forgot. There was another first ever this tweet, but anyway, I can't remember what it is. Maybe someone will remember at a different point. Do we want to talk about the Eagles, or we just wrap it up,
Morty? Let's wrap it up. I think I gave my input.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I think we all want to watch Monday Night Football because we're already 7-0 Seahawks here, and that's pretty exciting because Vegas is going to be quite upset if that upholds. So
Broncos
anyway,
are in the red zone.
Broncos are in the red zone. Okay, let's go ahead and watch Russell Wilson in his new uniform, I see. I'm out. See you later. No, I'm kidding. Thank you guys for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Let me go put it on my phone.
Yeah, bye.
Morty.